What is up, party people? This is the Raptors podcast brought to you by Couch Guy Sports. This is episode, 58. Wow. Episode 58 of the Raptors podcast brought to you by Couch Guy Sports. As always, I'm here with Liam McDade. Liam, what up, homie?
Squad. How are
Squatting
you?
Squatting up. Not too bad. How are you?
I'm a little depressed, but fighting through that seasonal depression. I got my ticket booked to Florida in 19 days and 7 hours, break? But I'm not counting. Sort of. It's like a delayed spring break. Granted, I'm not in school anymore, but I'll probably call it spring break till the day I die.
Oh, wait, you're not even in college and you're going to spring break.
All
right.
I know. I feel like I haven't earned this vacation at all.
Florida's open. It's a different. It's like a different country over there. And I
it's
don't
the
think
freest
it's
place in America.
America. But, like you said, depressed with the season. Celtics currently sitting 500, surprisingly, at 17-17. It seems like the team's been doing so much worse, because on paper, this team is, like, arguably one of the best in the East, but they're not performing up to their standards. It's been a while since we've all talked. I mean, we talked last week, Liam. But we didn't put the episode up. It was kind of like outdated. It was before we recorded right before the Mavs game, lost to the Mavs. But that was the episode didn't get up for a couple reasons, and we're recording today. So I think that would we record that Thursday night or something? Wednesday night?
Wednesday. Yeah, it was Wednesday. It was either Thursday or Wednesday. My memory's terrible. So
was mine, but. Anyways, we got a lot to talk about, and I guess we'll just talk about the losses, because there hasn't been many wins since the last time we recorded. The last time we were recording, I think, was before the Pistons game way back a couple weeks ago, February 14th, and there's more losses than wins here. So let's saw 4 wins on that out of 4, 5, 6 losses. So a lot to talk about there. We really won't talk about too many of the losses. It looks like the Wizards have our card lately. And I guess we could talk about the Hawks as well, because the Hawks have been kicking our ass. What do you think is making us lose these games? I don't think it's coaching, but you might.
I don't exactly think it's coaching either. Brad draws up great schemes. He's put the Celtics in great positions in the last couple seasons. He's proven he is one of the best coaches in the league. But it's the overall effort by the team, I think, that's really doing us in. There's so many problems, but it all comes down to effort in my eyes. I hate to hear people go, oh, we just didn't want it hard enough tonight, because this is everyone's profession. These guys are paid plenty of money to do this job. I like to think each player on every team really, really wants a win every night, whether it's a morale boost, whether you want to make the playoffs, whether it's if you want to go out to the club that night, you want to have a win on your belt so you feel good going out that night. Every team wants to win, so I don't think it's so much an effort underlying thing like that. But it's just the way they play, their attitude. You can see it in the numbers. You can see it on the eye test just watching the game. The defense is absolutely pitiful. The offense is nothing like it used to be. The whole fucking team's in shambles. And it makes me so furious. I have trouble watching whole games anymore. I just want to leave the room. I want to cool down. I can't stand what I'm seeing in there. I have a bunch of numbers that I can break down right now. I'll try to space it out so I don't get too numbery, but it's just so infuriating, especially from our two stars, too, Tatum and Brown. They're the only thing holding this team up, but they're also not helping us win games entirely either, especially on the defensive end. So it's been very disappointing for me. I assume you saw something similar, too.
Yeah, no, definitely something similar here, and it's been unfortunate that these guys, it's not even like they're tired. It's not because like they've been losing to these young teams, like the Hawks, super young team, the Mavs, super young team, Pelicans, super young team. But it's like the Celtics are a super young team. It's not like we can't keep up with them, and it shouldn't be a lack of effort. So, can you hear my roommate?
Yeah, slightly. No, you're good.
But yeah, it's not like this team has any weaknesses besides on the defensive end. I really think the Celtics have to step up defensively. And I think it may be because Smart's out. That could be a big... that could be a big part of it. Smart isn't here, and that is hurting the Celtics. I think that's right now that's the biggest thing.
Yeah, as we said on the show that we ended up not putting on, Smart is out till at least the All-Star break, which is March 7th to the 14th or something like that, or something.
Could I know possibly it starts be until like after the All-Star break too. Yeah.
So I definitely would say he'll probably be back the week after the All-Star break, maybe the week after that. But I can't imagine he misses much more time than that, especially with the urgency. We really fucking need this guy back.
Yeah, definitely on the defensive end. I mean, even on the offensive end, too. I kind of miss him just jacking up threes all the time.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I'm that desperate yet. If we lose a couple more games, then maybe I'll be like, all right, get Marcus Smart in here. He can take all the threes he wants. I don't care. I'm not that desperate yet, though. In the numbers, though, it really shows that we are missing him on the defensive end. Last year, our defensive rating, we were ranked fourth. This year, dropped to 16th, and that's as of 2 days ago. So
it's like middle of the pack. It's like 17-17 record. We're like,
yeah. We're on the bad half of the league right now, just barely. So it's not great. But on offense, we're not a whole lot better. Last year, we were also fourth in offense. Now we've dropped to 13th again as of two days ago. So this does not take in the last game against the Wizards. But there's a clear lack of effort. You don't even need to look at the numbers when watching this. Tatum and Brown are both being beat off the dribble way too easily. And when that happens, the players go right into the middle, and our interior defensive players are not strong enough to stop these players coming in. Prime Dwight Howard, when he was on the Magic, their defensive game plan would be to let slashers by, and Dwight would take care of them in the
paint. Block the fuck out of them, yeah.
Yeah, because he was just that dominant of a player. But we
don't have anyone close to that.
No, we don't even have a quarter of what Dwight Howard was. And I like Tice. His defensive potential. That's the only thing I like about him. But he's not a shot blocker. He's not a dominating presence down the paint, you know?
No, he'll hang with you. He'll hang with the best of them, but he's not going to, like, block every shot. He'll alter some shots, but he's not like we said, he's not even close to Dwight Howard. No, you can't even compare a lot of people to Dwight Howard. He's, like, one of the best.
And that's prime D12 we're talking about. He's godsend.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah, and Tristan Thompson, of course, is nowhere near that either. I didn't expect that when the Celtics signed him, but I expected him to at least be serviceable. And he,
get rid of him.
Yeah, he certainly hasn't been good at all. They're just getting beat on the edge. Our perimeter defense is terrible. We don't have the strong guys inside to take care of them. They're biting for double moves on the outside, and they're getting looks inside. And then once we get beat inside, they try and overcompensate to the inside and leave the three-point line wide open. Our three-point defense is significantly worse than it has been in years past. It just seems like everything's falling apart on the defensive end. Our transition defense is terrible. We will have 3-4 guys back against two guys on the other team's offensive end, and we still will let them score. We'll have numbers advantage and they still score. We'll have guys that won't even get back. We'll have two guys back and they'll get three back and get the easy bucket. It's just there's a clear lack of effort on this team. It just seems like no one cares. And I think Brad has trouble managing the personalities. He doesn't have any problem with the X's and O's. But I don't think he can really motivate and get these guys to get their fucking asses in gear. Because when I see a player not hustling down the court and giving up a wide open layup, I mean, the Hawks dropped 122 points on us. That's fucking pitiful.
We can only put up 114.
Yeah, and in that game in particular, Trae Young went off. And he is a great player. I'll give him all the props in the world. But still, we should put up more than 114 on one of the worst defenses. I think they're the third worst defense in the league right now. And we only had 114 on them.
Yeah, I think that arguably, they're one of the worst defenses in the league. Like when you got a guy like Trae Young. That's why Kemba obviously went off in the game after that when they won 121 to 109. Kemba Walker had like 28 points or something. Trae Young can't keep up with that guy.
No.
Trae Young can't keep up with anybody. Great on offensive end. Obviously, we've seen that, but defense, he sucks. But yeah, I think once Smart comes back, maybe things will start to come together with this defense. Hopefully, because they need a jolt there. They need something to kick their ass, kick it into gear. Brad Stevens needs to get to him. Like, he shouldn't even let Tatum and fucking Brown play in the All-Star game this year. He should make them, like, not even play. It's a disgrace how bad they've been.
There has to be some sort of punishment. They can't do anything. Like I said, they can't do the basic things. If you can't get back on defense, they aren't even switching properly out there. They can't execute basic switches. They should be switching everything. In the modern game, everyone's so versatile. Big men can shoot, and guards can post up really well. So everyone needs to be able to switch all the time, and no one is doing that. We don't have the personnel to do that like we used to be able to, and it really shows, and it's surfaced really bad recently. But Christ, being 17-17, 500 for the first time since 2015, it's a terrible, terrible...
New York Knicks are in front of us. That's how bad. I mean, it's only a game. It's only half a game, but the New York Knicks are now in front of us in the Atlantic standings and in the Eastern Conference standings. That's just terrible. Who would have ever thought of that this season?
The team should feel like shit. If I was Brad Stevens, I'd give them the Coach Carter treatment. I would run them till they have to crawl to their car.
You can't make guys like that. I mean, I don't think any coach makes any NBA players run. It's not like high school. I wish it was. I'd be making these guys run suicides all day long.
Oh, I would be torturing these bastards. They can't do anything. And it's honestly shameful to consider yourself a Celtics fan and watch this team, organization just heralded in greatness, that's just fallen to a place where the Knicks are even comparable to us. It's sickening to me.
Even Toronto, I mean, the good thing is they're still only 5 games behind Philly for the top of the Atlantic standings. And yeah. I mean, I don't even know why I can bring up the Atlantic standings. It doesn't even matter. But let's see where they are in the Eastern Conference. Well, Philly's in front. So, yeah, the good thing is they're only 5 games behind.
Yeah.
First, which is not terrible. And 1 through 8 is all close. But the bad thing about that is 5 through, like, even Cleveland. Cleveland's only, like, 4 games behind you.
Yeah.
Like, that's not good. When there's teams like Orlando Magic and the Wizards and the Hawks only 3-4 games behind you, that's not good.
The entire East is a firefight right now. Everyone's within a couple games of each other. Yes, the Celtics are hovering in the middle right now, but they could easily drop to the 8th seed. They could easily rise up to the 3rd seed. So I don't want to overreact, but so much to be scared of right now, and it's tough to rely on Marcus Smart to come back and save everything too.
They're in limbo right now, like you just said. Yeah. It could go either way. It could go very badly where they can end up, you know, towards the bottom. They could be around Cleveland and Washington standings, or we could be, you know, in the top 3 or 4 pretty soon. But a lot's going to come down to, like, how much they want it. And hopefully Smart comes back soon, because I think that will fix a lot of our defensive problems just right there. The amount of hustle and leadership he brings to the team is incredible.
Yeah, definitely. Because I look at the teams last year, and obviously Marcus Smart was so integral for us last year. But what's the biggest difference between last year and this year? Besides, like, some of the rookies we got in this year, we don't have your boy, Gordo. Do you think that there's any carryover? Maybe the Celtics aren't as good without Gordon Hayward? Because he was my scapegoat last year. Anything that went wrong last year, I blamed it on Gordon Hayward. I thought he had moments where he was absolutely terrible, and I didn't want him on the team. But I'm curious if you think there's any, you know, maybe he's the reason this is shitting the bed right now.
Now that you say it, that is a good point. You can look at that. I think ball movement was better last year when you had Gordon Hayward. That was another guy that, not even just on the defensive end, but, like, on the offensive end, that was a guy that Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum could trust. You know, one of those guys that they can just drive in, kick it out to, and know that he's going to hit a big shot. Not that he did all the time, but he was a proven player.
Yeah.
But now you got guys like, I don't know, like Semi Ojeleye. Like, you really think Jason Tatum's comfortable driving in and kicking it out to a guy like Semi Ojeleye?
I certainly wouldn't be.
Like, yeah, so right there, that's a huge difference. Just leadership-wise, Gordon Hayward was a proven vet in the league. He's been there, done that. Didn't win a championship, hasn't won a championship yet, but he has been around the league, and he is a leader. And even on the defensive end, I mean, he's not the best defensive guy in the world, but...
But he's not terrible.
He's not terrible. We for sure are missing Gordon Hayward. I didn't even think about that, but yeah, we're definitely missing Gordon Hayward. I wish we could have him back in a heartbeat.
That's a great point, actually, now that you bring that up. Now, I just brought up their issues with switching their that they don't have the personnel to do it. Now, looking back on it, all the shitting on Gordon Hayward, while he did not provide a whole lot on offense, like he definitely didn't think wasn't he did. The offensive stuff. Yeah, no. But he, like you said, he was still an offensive threat. Other teams still had to respect him. Whether he was going to hit it or not, they would guard him.
Because there were games where he could go off.
Yeah, and he's a good-sized, small forward. He could switch with the best of them, and you had Brown, Tatum, and Gordon all switching on great guys. Passer. Yep, definitely a great passer, able to run the second-team offense very well.
High IQ. Like, he knows the game.
Yeah, that's just like kind of dawning on me right now that without Gordon Hayward, they're just down an extra wing defender. He obviously wasn't a stellar offensive player, but he put pressure on other teams on both ends of the court. Now without him, sorry, I'm having like a epiphany revelation right now.
Yeah,
that we need Hayward back, because we've been joking about it all year. Like, oh my God, Gordon Hayward dropped 40 again for the Hornets. Gee, I wish he would do that for the Celtics. Wish he was still on the Celtics. No, he wouldn't drop 40 on the Celtics. But just what he did for us seems so integral right now.
Took it for granted.
Yeah, and I should take the foot out of my mouth, because I was roasting this dude last year because he'd have 13-point games. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? But they'd win by 23. And I guess that's just because he was able to defend the other team's best guys and switch with Tatum and Brown and just create a confusing amount of defense that was able to set them off on offense, I guess. I'm blown away right now.
Yeah, we miss Gordon Hayward a lot on this team. Like right now, his average is only 21.5 points per game. It's not all about the points, because it was just another guy you can kick it out to, another guy you can facilitate the ball to, and throw the ball around. And this year, right now, it seems like Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown have no one to kick the ball out to, no one they trust. They're taking a majority of the shots, which they should be. They're scoring a lot, but it's not adding up to wins. Yeah, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are both averaging like 26 points per game. Yeah. But that's, who cares? Because it's not amounting to anything great.
Yeah, exactly. It's like Trae Young. You could put up all the points in the world, but you're not playing much defense. They're biting on every pump fake on the perimeter and giving up wide open lanes to the basket. So it doesn't matter if you put up 40, if you give up 50.
The name of the game is to be a great team and win games, not have two all-stars on your team and still be .500 record.
Yeah. Oh, such a shitty situation that we have to deal with. And Robert Williams has been a great, like, diamond in the rough here. If we can find any valuable thing from this rough patch, is that Robert Williams seems to be coming into his own. Brad's still timid with him on the playing time. He's not getting fat minutes each game. But he's definitely a great rim protector. His per 36 numbers are great. I like what I see from him, but sometimes the effort fluctuates, just like the rest of the team. The defensive effort isn't always there. So I get worried about that.
Because no one wants to play defense anymore. It's all about offense, how flashy you can be, how many points you can score. No one cares about defense. No one does.
And that is the modern league. Like, defense is becoming an afterthought, but the Celtics look like the 2017 Rockets, where it's like all threes, no defense, all offense. Go out there and score 150 as long as you don't give up 162. You can't even score 150
points.
Yeah.
They're lacking still in the offensive end, because, like I said, it's Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, how many points they can both put up. And after that, you never know who's going to show up. I mean, some days it's Pritchard. Some days it is Ojale. Some days it's Walker. Some days it's Tice. Like, who knows?
Yeah. If I'm looking at their games right now and their last couple, I mean, through their losing streak and their tough times, they're not putting up great point totals. Like 119 against the Clippers, that was great. That was probably the last great game we've seen from them. But then they give up 122 to the Jazz. They only get 108. Got 91 against the Suns, which is unspeakable. That is also not a great defensive team. You should be ripping them apart. 120 against the Raptors is fine. 102 against the Pistons, that's disgraceful. The Wizards have one of the worst defenses ever, and they put up 91 against the fucking Wizards. You should be doubling that.
Yeah, we could talk about the Wizards in a bit. now that we've talked about like everything we just hate about the Celtics right now, the Shays team.
Now that I just unloaded about, all my anger.
Yeah, because you texted me saying you had about like a lot to talk about. There were some fun games to watch, I guess. We could talk about the Mavericks game, the loss of the Mavericks when they lost 110-107.
Yeah.
I mean, not the greatest game because like the Celtics couldn't find their rhythm for a while. But they almost came back and stole that game against Dallas. They almost came back and stole it, but my boy Luka Doncic, two huge shots at the end. 1-3 before the buzzer with like 13 seconds left. And then another go-ahead three at the buzzer to win the game. Incredible. Hate to see that loss. And I give it up for Dallas. They had fans in the stands that game.
Yeah.
They had some fans in the stands, which is cool to see. Great that that's coming back. Even in Boston, that's coming back, I think, in a couple weeks.
Yeah, the 22nd. So
that'll be cool to see. I mean, we're not going to get tickets, everyday people. And if we did get offered, they would be $1 million. But
it's a nice thought.
Yeah. So that was an exciting game. A game that we should go in and win. I said we would lose that game. I remember when we were I still owe you $20 because I said Daniel Tice would score more than 9 points.
For the going 2 into that, points.
Yeah, going. Well, I forgot they had Boban.
Yeah, but like, how many point or minutes did Boban play? I don't think he's that.
He had
13
a
minutes.
Pretty decent game.
Yeah. Oh my God, he did 10 and 8. He's a beast.
Yeah, I was gonna say Boban. He had a pretty decent game that
in only 13 minutes too. That's crazy.
Yeah. No. Exactly. He had a very decent game for himself. Powell, the other center, didn't really perform well, but yeah, he played well. Who else? I mean, like we said, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Kemba Walker, all three of those guys went off and we couldn't get the win. Kemba Walker more so towards the end, he went off.
Yeah, that was just 14 and three quarters. I was a little nervous that he was going to finish with like 17 or something like that. He was able to bust out a cool 7 in the fourth.
Yeah, and Rick Carlisle was like shit in his pants when we almost came back in that game. But, you know, he was like, hey, Luka, your name's now Dirk. And he went out there and hit two big, big fucking threes, which we were – I wasn't watching most of the game. I got back to my apartment and turned the game on, and we saw those two threes. We were like, holy shit. Two huge threes by, you know – I'm probably one of the best players in the league. And I don't think a guy like Tatum, even though we'll talk about him later with his big shots last night, but I don't think anyone on the Celtics team could have done that. I don't think it would have. I mean, they could, but I don't think they would have done that.
Yeah. I'm at a loss for words here. They just don't seem like they have that killer mentality where one player would just be able to take over like that. Like, we've seen Tatum have his moments, but Luka's a generational type player. And if you're going to give up back-to-back step-back threes from Luka, then fuck, I guess we're just going to lose because there's not a whole lot you can do about that. It's like when LeBron drops 40 on you all driving to the basket, you're like, well, fuck, I guess there's nothing we can really do about that. When Dirk hits 7 fadeaways over you, shit, we can't do a whole lot about it. So it's a tough bucket from a great, great player. That's his patented move. Heartbreaking because the Celtics really, like you said, they put Rick Carlisle on his heels. They gave the Mavericks a good scare, and I thought they obviously certainly had a chance, finished as a 3-point game. But they couldn't close down the stretch, and their 3-point defense has been so bad anyway. I'm sure it was picking and choosing for Luka. He's probably like, where do I want to shoot this one?
Well, okay. I mean, Tice was playing a pretty good defense on him. The first shot. The last shot, yeah, it was kind of like wide open. There wasn't really a guy near him. I'm assuming just because they didn't want to foul him. Because, you know, if you foul him, it's all over. He's going to hit those free throws. So that is tough to play defense on a shot like that, especially last second. You don't want to foul the dude because he's going to have all three to win. But you just can't lose a game like that. And I know the Celtics battled their way back in that game, but it's a little too late. You can't let it come down to the last few minutes, as we'll talk about last night's game, because all the other games kind of suck. We're not going to talk about these games where they got blown out and all these losses just because, like, what's there to talk about? We already talked. We already kind of went over it. Defense and lack of ball movement is pretty much why they're losing.
I definitely think that was a squandered opportunity, though, against the Mavericks. Like, when we get a good game from Kemba, you have to fucking win. Unfortunately, on the defensive
end, three of the guys.
Yeah, they were all great.
The big three stepped up.
Yeah, Brown and Tatum, usually it's a given. Offensively, they're great. So that usually goes without saying. But Kemba finally had, like, a pretty good game. But he's also another contributing factor to this terrible defense. The guy he was guarding, my boy Jalen Brunson out of Villanova, had 22-2-2. Yep. Yeah, he's a bucket getter and very solid if they call upon his number. And he went out there.
Came out of nowhere.
Yeah, and he went out there and gave the work. He was the second leading scorer for that team. So yep. Kemba is such a big liability on defense. It's even when he gives you a damn good game on offense, which is few and far between nowadays, he'll still give up almost actually more points than he scored. He gave that up on the defensive end.
No, I fully agree. When you get a good game by Kemba, which is rarely, you got to capitalize it and win that game.
Yeah.
We almost did. It took two unbelievable shots by Luka Doncic to lose that game, for them to win, for the Mavericks to win it, which is tough. It's really tough. I didn't want to see them lose that game, especially after the Celtics came roaring back with, you know, Kemba hitting big shots and Jaylen Brown hitting big shots. It's tough to see us lose that game, but I don't think we were meant to win. I even said before the game, when we recorded our podcast, didn't get released, I said I thought the Mavericks were going to win that game. And they did. It was close, but they did. And then you just go on to Atlanta. You go, I mean, I think it was like back-to-back games, actually. They went on to play Atlanta. They just got destroyed.
Was that the next day?
I believe it was the next day.
Oh, yeah, it was. Holy shit. Second night of a back-to-back loss. Yeah,
after a tough loss, late-night loss in Dallas, they had to hop on a plane to go to Atlanta, you know, which isn't like that far, but yeah, it's still, you're still hopping on a plane to go there.
It's still like 3 hours, I guess.
Same exact day, yeah. I mean, the next day, which with no rest, I don't put much blame on that game. That is tough, going just from Dallas to Atlanta playing the next day and having to play a super young team, especially guys like Trae Young, who, you know, is going to put up buckets. Gallinari, though, he scored, like you said, another slasher guy. Gallinari put up 38 points. When was the last time Gallinari probably scored more than 15 points?
Had to have been like 2014.
In his heyday.
He could not miss everywhere. Driving from three, that dude could have closed his eyes and kicked the ball into the hoop.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't know he was that young. He's only 32. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, games leading up to that, he had 12, 5, and then he had 38, and then he had the next day 8 points and 6 points.
I know. He's on my fantasy team. I was like, Jesus, at least he gave me that.
I mean, and he's averaging 11 points. Yeah, averaging 11 points per season. And I'm sure that 38-point game helped that go up by a couple points.
Most definitely.
Just out of nowhere, like you said, another guy like that who can hurt you on the he can hurt you on the wing, perimeter, and inside. We just have no one to guard a guy like that. And obviously, we can bring it back to Gordon Hayward. If he was there, he might have been able to stop Dug and Gallinari, and he probably wouldn't have 38 points.
Yeah. This game in particular was where it was almost unbearable watching this game. We gave up 45 of 85 shots from the field. So basically, they shot 53% from the field and 55% from three. They dropped 127 points on us. The Celtics couldn't guard a parked car. They couldn't cover a baby with a blanket in this fucking
54.8% from 3-point
land. Absolutely. That's ridiculous. Atrocious.
They were hitting half their threes.
Yeah.
More than half.
And everything was almost wide open.
While we hit 25%.
Yeah. Just terrible. And the Celtics on offense in this game, too, they have too many ball-stopping moves. It's like they'll have Tatum do an ISO on the wing, and that'll, you know, everyone will just kind of be hanging out on the perimeter as he does a couple dribbles and either fires up a shot or gives it to somebody else. Yeah, and by his standards, that is awful.
4 for 20, that's awful by anyone's standards. Yeah. I mean, especially a guy who's going to be on the All-Star team. That just awful game, and I get it. It's back to back. It's tough to go play in Dallas on a late night game and then go make your way over to Atlanta and play them, a team that's so young and has guys that can, you know, really put up points. But there's no excuse for having Gallinari go off and score 38. Trae Young scored 33. I get that Trae Young is going to score his points, probably 25 or 35 points a game.
Yep.
But Gallinari, no excuse.
No.
No fucking excuse.
And there's certainly no excuse for a terrible offense either. Shooting 44% from the field and, like you said, 26% from three against the third worst defense in the league, like I said earlier. You can't fucking do this.
And we won't use the excuses back-to-back games because, like we said, the Celtics team is young enough. They have the youth. It's not like we have guys that are 40 years old on this team or 35. This team is youthful and has plenty of power. They should be able to keep up with the young Bucks. Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, they're only 22, 23 years old. So there's no excuses there.
Yeah, like I'd excuse a 40% from the field and maybe like a 35% from three, but like, Jesus Christ, these numbers are atrocious against a team that also can't defend. So it looked like the most modern NBA game I've ever seen out there. Just no defense, all offense, everyone shot chucking, and half the players on that court, their shots weren't going in.
However, we are in a two-game win streak, though.
Yep.
Surprisingly, somehow, we're on a two-game win streak. The Celtics started it off with a win against the Pacers. I believe it was Friday night. Kemba Walker, 32 points. That was a season high, actually, and he's playing better. He is scoring more points lately. Like I told you a couple weeks ago, I was like, all right, let's give him another week. Let him get into a groove, and he's been playing pretty well.
Yeah, you were right. You said give him some more time. I didn't particularly want to.
We didn't want to.
You're the voice of reason on this podcast. You're the good cop, I'm the bad cop, so I didn't want to give him any more time, but you're right. And the Mavericks game was fine. He's had some better performances, but this was a grit and grind game. We definitely needed Kemba Walker's points, and this was a huge win for us. I was very nervous about this game. I did not think they were going to come out and win it.
We needed to win it because there was no way. What had that been like? What would that have been? A four-game loss streak?
Yeah.
Losing streak? Let's see.
Yeah, dropped us well under 500, too.
Yeah, it was a big win. It was a close game. It was actually a fun game to watch. They went down early. They weren't down after the first quarter, but I think the first like 5 minutes, they were down like 18-4, and we rattled back. Brad Stevens called a timeout. He was like, "You guys need to fucking get your shit together," because it was bad. It was terrible to watch. I was like, "Fuck, they're going down again this much this early." But they eventually rattled back. This game was close the entire time, and it was actually a fun, great game to watch. And it amounted in a win.
Yep, which is most important.
Which is the best part.
Yeah. It reminded me of a game from last year, because the Celtics last year would always start out really slow and then just climb, scratch, and claw their way back into the game. And that's what they did in this game with huge contributions from Kemba, as we said before. And I thought Robert Williams was spectacular in this game. Absolutely cerebral. 22 minutes, 14 points, 11 rebounds. Exactly what we need from the Time Lord.
Mm-hmm. Huge game from the Time Lord, and maybe more huge games to come.
Yep, let's hope so. And this was against two premier defensive big men in the league right now, in Sabonis and Miles Turner, who both put up great players. And they both put up great stats of their own, but Robert Williams was able to hold his own, get in there. He had some good transition buckets, but most of them were like the clean alley-oops to the hoop, the tremendous slams that we wanted to see. He gave us some good highlights.
And a guy like Sabonis is an all. Did he make the All-Star? He should. I mean,
yeah, he can't. He made it in because Kevin Durant got hurt.
Okay, so yeah, he played well against an All-Star like Sabonis.
Yeah,
great to see. Really great to see. Love that game was so good, entertaining throughout. You saw some fight from the Celtics, which we haven't seen in a while. Yeah. And they hung around with a good team, surprisingly, as we've been losing to some pretty bad teams.
Yeah, got to show some respect to your boy, too. He had 17.
Who's my boy?
Daniel Ice Tice.
Oh, yeah. I was like, I don't know if you were mentioning a Duke player. Like,
yeah, or, of course, our sweet boy, Peyton Pritchard.
Peyton Pritchard, yeah, he's been playing well.
He's at his moments.
Yeah, he's at his moments. And we'll, I guess we'll talk about last night's win. Was it last night?
Yes.
Feels like I didn't want, yeah. Last night's win against the Wizards, which was February 28th, Sunday night against the Wizards. We narrowly beat out the Wizards 111 to 110. I don't even know how we won this game. Bradley Beal just fucking came out guns blazing.
Jesus,
ends up putting 46 points on the board by himself. Just phenomenal day for him. But in the end, he made some mistakes.
Yep.
You saw he was human. He's not a robot, folks. He could put up buckets, but in the end, we saw him the last couple minutes. He ended up stepping out of bounds.
That was huge.
But he slipped. I don't blame Bradley Beal. I don't think that was like on him at all. There was literally, if you watched it, he literally fucking slipped. Like there must have been a ton of sweat there or something or whatever. His foot just went right out from under him, and he slipped. There was no, you can't really say that was a dumb move by him, because it wasn't.
Yeah.
Like he didn't know where he was. It wasn't like he didn't have any court awareness. He just fucking, I don't know what, the floor was wet and he slipped, which sucks for him. That was tough to see. And the basketball gods granted the Celtics a chance there, because if he doesn't slip and fall out of bounds, I don't think the Celtics won that game. I really don't. That gave them so much hope.
I'm completely with you there. Any more that Bradley Beal touches the ball, the more likely it is that he's going to get another bucket. So a well-received blessing from the basketball gods showing pity on this pathetic Celtics team.
They were like, wow, this team hasn't really won too many games in a while.
Yeah.
Let's spin on the floor over there and hope that Bradley Beal just slips and falls out of bounds, which he did.
Sprinkle some magic. Let's help some of the brothers out here get this dub.
Yeah, it was crazy. And like I said, if he doesn't slip and fall out of bounds, I don't think we won that game. And Jason Tatum just shows up, proves himself as a leader of this game, hit big shot after big shot after big shot after big shot down the stretch for this team, putting up 31 points. Huge game for him. Not his best from the three-point arc, but just he took over when that team needed him, and he really proved himself in the last like 4 minutes of this game. Just big shot after big shot.
Yeah, definitely. I want to say for my boy Russell Westbrook too. God damn it, Russ! Ooh, Russell Beastbrook out there with 24 and 11 too. He is just an absolute pleasure. A pleasure to watch play the game of basketball.
Double double.
I would just sit there fully content and watch Russell Westbrook play basketball for days on end. The dude is truly a basketball god. I just wanted to throw that out there. I just love what he does.
Yeah, that was strange, but he's on a team. He's stuck on a team that can't win basketball games, even more so than the Celtics. So,
yeah,
sucks for him, but
definitely a tough seed.
Keep losing with the Wizards over there, Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, back to Jason Tatum though. No, he was so clutch and looked like the Jason Tatum of old, the one that I love and have a shrine built to in my room. I really, really, really love to see Jason Tatum get back to his roots. I think ever since COVID, he's been a little out of funk. He's been putting up big numbers, but his moves weren't as crisp as they used to be. He wouldn't get in rhythms like he's so used to. So.
Are you blaming this on COVID? I don't.
No. I don't want to be that guy who's like, oh, like, because a ton of athletes have got it and they all seem fine afterwards. Tatum came out saying,
there's no excuse.
No, he came out saying that he feels like he's a little short of breath ever since he's got it. But I also thought that was just an excuse too. But
yeah,
I think there is something to it, though. Maybe whether it's in his head or not, he has not looked like he's had that same rhythm as he had last year. That same confidence that I'm going to get this bucket on you and there's nothing you can do about it type vibe. He hasn't radiated the confidence that he usually does. Maybe it's because the team hasn't been so good. But in this game, to me, in 39 minutes, putting up 31-8, I loved what I saw from him, and it looked like the Jason Tatum that I love dearly.
Yeah, it looks like the Jason Tatum everyone loves so dearly, because he ended up winning us this game. They ended up winning this game for the Celtics, put the team on his back, and just shut up the haters, because he made big shot after big shot down the stretch, and that was fun to watch. I didn't think he was going to hit some of those shots, and he did.
Last second layup was huge. That was such a great.
Yep, and he was on. He was one of the two guys. I think it was him and who was it? Pritchard, maybe on Beal. When Beal put that last second heat up on the start. Was it Bradley or no? It was Ogilvy and I think it was Ogilvy and fucking Tatum, but whoever.
Yeah,
they didn't foul him. They put their and that shot almost went in. It hit the back of the rim and it bounced out. But
I really thought Bradley Beal was gonna ruin my night. I was like, once that shot was in the air, I put my head in my hands. I was like, oh my god, Bradley Beal's gonna fucking ruin it for me.
And you know it's going to him. Well, actually, why didn't they give the ball to Russell Westbrook at the end of that game?
Russell Westbrook is one of those guys where you don't exactly want him taking the last shot unless it's only his team and there's no other superstar in there, or unless he's oozing supreme confidence and just decides to take it himself, and usually it'll be a contested three. With Bradley Beal, especially when he has 46. If any player has over, 30, let alone 46, you kind of give him the ball and just be like, hey, this is your game. You're clearly feeling it. If Russ had 30 and Beal had 46, there'd be a little more of a debate. But for the most part, Beal's just so good at creating his own shot off the dribble. I would trust him more than Russell Westbrook, and I love Westbrook significantly more than Beal.
And they had time. It's not like there was like a lot. I think there was like 4 seconds on the clock for them to get a shot off. So.
I think they were looking to get the rebound in case he missed, but
It was good to see that not go in. The basketball gods, like I said, blessed us with another great game, because that could have ended badly for the Celtics. We could have lost another one to the Wizards, a team that seems to pretty much just do whatever they want with us. We don't perform well against them. Well, we have in this season. But yeah, the basketball gods blessed us with a win, and now we're on a 2-game win streak.
Yeah, I was certain the Celtics were going to win that game. That was, we picked our White Claw wager of the week in the episode that we ended up not posting. But I said I would pick this game and pick the Celtics if I wanted an easy win, but I opted out of it.
You did. Lastly, we'll just talk about, I mean, we don't really have to talk about it too much. The Clippers, we got a big game coming up against them tomorrow night, which will be big. Hopefully we can get something together there and maybe go on a 3-game winning streak. I don't know. We'll see. I think, are they without Paul George?
I believe so. Let me look that up. Because I know he hasn't been playing recently. So, Paul George is... Oh, no, he's back. So, Paul George will be playing.
Anywho, the game's in Boston. I believe it's in Boston.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. I believe the Clippers would be a huge favorite. They're 24-12. They got their shit together. They're not clawing for wins. But maybe the Celtics team, seems like they got a little bit fighting them, especially after last night's win against the Wizards, only coming back and winning that game by one, and then, pulling out a tough one against the Pacers. So maybe, just maybe, this team is starting to get their shit together and figuring stuff out, because they need to against this Clippers team tomorrow night.
Yeah, it's a huge game. I definitely think Brad knows how to scheme against these Clippers players.
Yep.
I think the Celtics very well could win this game. I think they have a lot of fight in them, and they rise to the occasion against these top-tier teams. The better in me says hammer the Clippers. But if I'm speaking from the heart, I think, especially because the Celtics won in L.A. in the game earlier when we had Chris on, I think the Clippers are going to try and get this win and try extra hard, and they'll end up getting it. But the Celtics certainly could pull the upset here, especially with Brad as the coach. And if everything goes together smoothly, if everyone plays well, if we don't shoot fucking 24% from three, I think the Celtics could rake in another win and get us into the positive column in the wins.
And we'll see. We'll definitely see. But that's going to wrap it up for this episode of the Raptors podcast. We talked about a lot. Celtics we're playing, had a terrible stretch, but, you know, 2-game winning streak, and we'll see what they can do tomorrow night against the Clippers. And going forward, I know they play the Raptors and right after that, and the Nets, so they got a few few big games coming up.
Big stretch of games. Are we picking a White Claw wager of the week? I forget what I picked in the episode.
Yeah, let's do that real quick. I think you would have won, right?
I don't remember. Oh, what team did I pick? Did I pick the Pacers to beat the Celtics?
I think you might have.
What an idiot.
Oh, so I get the pick this time. All right.
Yeah.
Let's do...
Remind me to bring a White Claw next match. Because
we'll probably record Friday. Let's do Thursday against Brooklyn at Brooklyn. I'm going to take Brooklyn.
You cunt. All right, I'll take the Celtics, and without Kevin Durant, I think they can do that. I actually don't feel too bad about that.
We'll see. You gotta go against a guy like Kyrie and fucking what's his name?
Harden. That's not this week.
What? It's not?
Yeah, no. Thursday, March 11th. This Thursday is the Raptors game.
Well, what do they have, like a little bit of a break there then?
Yeah, it's the All-Star break.
Oh, shit. My bad.
You basically only have the Clippers or the Raptors to choose from.
I'll take the Celtics against the Raptors.
All right. Celtics get the dub against the Raptors.
That'll be my pick.
All right. Looks like I'm going Raps. Let's go Tampa Bay, baby.
So that will be the White Claw wager of the week, but that's going to do it for this episode.
Number 58, baby. Like, rate, subscribe. Anything you can, greatly appreciated by your boys.
Exactly. Peace.
Later.